Luke chapter 2, for I'm going to read tonight the first 7 verses, and I'll read and you can listen. And it came to pass in those days there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should bring forth, that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. I read the Christmas stories every December. I read them most every day of the month of December. I always rejoice in all of the truths that God has revealed to me through the years from the Christmas story. Some of those truths were revealed as I sat in a pew and listened to other men preach. Many of the truths were revealed to me while I was in my study preparing some type of Christmas message. And I think I mentioned to Nathan the other night, I said, good night, there's only so many verses. Seems like there's only so many truths. You've been doing this for now, I'm doing this for my almost 30th year. It's a lot of Christmas preaching, a lot of Christmas messages, but I delight when the Lord shows me something new. And so I'm going to draw your attention to a little phrase in this story. And it seems like it's just there, but those are the things that you want to look at. All scripture, your preacher says this a lot, doesn't he? All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. I love preaching to you while you're in the dark. I can't see the expressions of anyone, and in my imagination, everyone's smiling and happy. This is wonderful. You've never looked so good, amen? And so it was. Here's the phrase, and so it was. Watch this. And so it was, comma, verse 6, and so it was, comma, that, comma, while they were there. That's the name of the message tonight, while they were there. Now, let me say some things about that. Number one, God knew where they needed to be. God knew where they needed to be. He knew better than Joseph knew. He knew better than Mary knew. He knew things that they did not know. And by the way, one of the things that he knew was that there was a prophet some 700 years before the birth of Christ that God had told him to pen these words. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth hath been from old, from everlasting. By the way, I don't think Mary knew that Jesus was to be born in Bethlehem. I don't think Joseph knew. You say, why do you think that? Wouldn't they have maybe heard that at their local synagogue? You remember that when the wise men came to Herod and they inquired where the Christ would be born, that he went into the scholars of the day, and they said that once they had searched diligently, I mean, they searched to find out the answer. I think this was kind of graduate level Bible, Old Testament Bible knowledge. I'm not sure. You know, if they have to have a session and in Jerusalem and the top authorities on the scripture cannot give you an answer like that, and they've got to search it out and then come back with an answer, there's probably a good chance that a carpenter and his fiancée did not know where Jesus was going. So God, watch this, God knew something they didn't know. They were in Nazareth, but guess what? God needed to get them to Bethlehem. Why? Because it was God's prophetic will for Jesus Christ to be born in Bethlehem. God, number one, God knew where they needed to be. Let me give you another thought. Number two, God allowed circumstances that took them where they needed to be. God allowed the circumstances of life to occur that took them from where they were to where they needed to be. I'm glad that the Bible says in Proverbs 21:1, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. And you know what, folks, watch this. God can even use a heathen king to accomplish his will. And I don't think God had to push and prod Caesar Augustus very hard, because when it comes to the matter of taxation, it seems like that's almost normal and natural for a politician to think that he came upon that idea. And so there it is, and all of a sudden, I wonder what circumstances had happened in Rome. I wonder what financial crisis God had to create in order for Caesar Augustus to insist that there be a new levying, a new count, a new taxation, more money gathered. But we can see behind the scenes, and we can see the hand of God in this. Isn't that exciting? And so God knew where they needed to be, and then God allowed the circumstances that took them from where they were to where they needed to be. A decree from a heathen king necessitated that they leave the comfort and the familiarity of their hometown of Nazareth to travel to the home of their ancestors, the town of Bethlehem. If God did not and had not changed their circumstances and forced them to take this journey, then they would not have been where they needed to be. And so, number one, God knew where they needed to be. Number two, God allowed circumstances that took them where they needed to be. Watch this one. Number three, they did not want to be where they needed to be. They didn't want to be there. I'm sure that they did not understand why God had allowed this. Why did God create the circumstances? I mean, if there's ever been a time where we would like to be just home and near our familiar surroundings, and this isn't the time for a trip. And what do you mean a decree's been passed? And by the way, this isn't voluntary. They're going to insist upon it, and you're in grave trouble and maybe grave danger if you don't do it. And suddenly they're forced upon a set of circumstances that they weren't thrilled about. I'm sure that they were not thrilled, first of all, to have to pay more taxes. Sure about that. I don't think they were thrilled to have to make this journey with Mary in the condition that she was in. And you husbands understand that it seems like when we get to those latter months, the more protective we get, the more things that we go over, and we try to imagine every emergency situation, and we come up with a plan, and we start packing bags. These are the grab bags, okay? This is what we go out the door with. And you may even, as I did this, you might even just double check in the weeks ahead to make sure that they hadn't closed the road. You know, you do a little trial run, and the mother's the same way. And then all of a sudden, your world's turned upside down, and we're going where? What? They did not and were not thrilled to have to make this journey with Mary in the condition that she was in. They did not have any personal contacts in Bethlehem. Seems like no family or no friends. There was nobody that they could go to and borrow a bedroom. So here they are in an unfamiliar situation. By the way, can you imagine once they got there how disappointed they were that they could not find accommodations? No vacancy signs were everywhere, and there were so many travelers, and then there was no place for them, no room for them. I can imagine the frustration of Joseph as he maybe went and found a place for his wife to rest and set, and let me check down this road. They told me there might be somebody over here, and how long that went on, but guys, if it had been us, we'd have, I think, exhausted every single possibility. And can you imagine Joseph when finally somebody shows some pity? He begins maybe to share the circumstances of his wife's condition, and finally somebody just offers, we don't have any more room in the house. I mean, we just don't. But we have a stable, and maybe if you cleaned it up a little bit, at least you'd have a roof over your head. And you imagine Joseph making a walk from that place to look down into the eyes of his wife and say, well, did you find something? And yes, I did. And then have to explain this. Can you think about that? They probably were not thrilled to be taking refuge in a stable, sharing the roof over their heads with common barnyard animals. I'm sure that they were not thrilled to be in this less than ideal circumstance. And then all of a sudden, in the midst of all of this, can you imagine Mary goes into labor? And I just want to kind of get you to visit that whole situation in your mind, because folks, listen to me, God knew where they needed to be, and God allowed the circumstances that took them where they needed to be, but they did not want to be where they needed to be. They weren't excited about it. And all of a sudden, Mary begins to go into labor, and can you imagine, again, Joseph is probably searching and seeking for some kind of help, and he's in a panic situation. He's looking around at their environment. And don't tell me, folks, human beings being human beings, that maybe at some point Joseph didn't just stop and look up to heaven with tears in his eyes and say, Lord, why? I mean, none of this makes sense. I mean, I thought something of miraculous and divine and angels promised, and here we are, and nothing's gone right. And so God knew where they needed to be. And by the way, God allowed the circumstances that took them where they needed to be. But they did not want to be where they needed to be. Now, I'm going to give you point number four. And you're not going to believe that I'm a writer, but here it is. Point number four. While they were there, where they didn't want to be, but where they needed to be, a miracle happened. How about that? While they were there, where they didn't want to be, but where they needed to be, a miracle happened. What was it? Jesus Christ was born. And God's will was done and accomplished. I mean, an angel. By the way, this one miracle is the big miracle. Jesus was born. But that miracle seemed to have connected to it a series of other miracles. I mean, an angel appears to the shepherds to announce their birth. And a multitude of heavenly hosts joins in praise. And the sky is a light outside of Bethlehem. And these shepherds then arrive to witness the miracle. And by the way, they were touched and changed, and they left never the same again, never the same again. And you know what? The Bible says that they spread the saying abroad. They told the story everywhere. They were touched forever. Why? Why did all these miracles happen? Because while they were there, where they didn't want to be, but where they needed to be, a miracle happened. Why did these miracles happen? Because God knew. Here's the biggest run-on sentence you're ever going to hear your preacher say. I'm actually going to read it, okay? I plead guilty. It's a terrible run-on sentence, but here it is. Because God knew where they needed to be and arranged the circumstances that would take them where they needed to be, knowing that they would not want to be where they needed to be, but also knowing that when they got to be where they needed to be, a special miracle would occur. And I'm not sure, I'm almost sure that that wouldn't make a title of a good book, but perhaps that should be the title of most of our autobiographies at the end of our life. Because those of us that have a little age, and certainly those of you that are older than me, can look back and have been during the course of this message and said, Preacher, I can't tell you how many times that was the story. God knew where we needed to be. God created a circumstances that moved us to where we needed to be. But we didn't like the circumstances, and the honest truth is, at first we didn't like where we needed to be. But guess what? A miracle occurred. And we didn't see it happening, we didn't see it coming, but a miracle occurred. I think about my dad as he's standing there with two job opportunities living in Greencastle, Indiana, outside of Greencastle, Indiana, and here on the same day, a job opportunity from Indianapolis, and the same day, a job opportunity from Terre Haute, Indiana. And is he going to go towards Indianapolis and search for a home and accept that job? Is he going to go towards Terre Haute and search for a home and accept that job? Listen, I'm talking about unsaved people. Aren't you glad that just because you were not saved doesn't mean God wasn't creating the circumstances of life that would get you to where you needed to be? And you know what? For whatever reason, we know now, my dad took the job in Terre Haute, Indiana, and then began to look for a piece of property and a home. And next thing you know, we move across the street. And you've heard me tell the story many times. You've heard him tell the story, many of you, across the street from Christian neighbors who got a burden for our family and began to invite us to church. And the circumstances of life brought us to where we needed to be so a miracle could happen. And a miracle did happen. Robert Ross got saved, and Donna Ross got saved, and then each of us children in turn received Jesus Christ as our Savior, and God had it all planned. You know, folks, let me say this. From that move to moving my dad down here to this area to First Pastor Providence Baptist Church, God knew. God knew that circumstance. God knew before he put him there what was going to happen, how it was going to happen. And let me say this just honestly, and by the way, it's so long ago it don't matter, and there's no animosity of our church towards that church or anybody that was involved with it. But let me tell you this, it was not a pleasant situation. It wasn't good circumstances, but God was trying to get somebody where they needed to be so that he could perform a miracle. And you know what the miracle was? Nobody could see it. Nobody can anticipate it. You know what the miracle and the cause of all of that was? The birth of an independent fundamental Baptist church in Jasonville, Indiana, by the name of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And so that's how God works. And by the way, I want to share this with you. He doesn't just work in the lives of people that are in ministry to achieve those things. He's working, sir, ma'am, young person, he's working in your life right now to achieve those, his will. And you know what? At first, the circumstances aren't always ideal. And it's easy to want to push against them. And sometimes we have to have circumstances that are so ironclad like these that we don't really have a choice in it. But you know what? God is trying to fulfill his will. Why? Watch this. Because ahead of everybody in this room are some miracles. But you know what? They're only going to occur, let me say it again, while they were there. Please listen to me. I think the saddest thing in the world is to watch people go through unfortunate circumstances and then flee the will of God. What would have happened if Joseph would have bucked up against the will of God that night? What if he'd have used the idea, well, preacher, you don't understand. This isn't working out, and that hasn't worked out. If anybody had a list of reasons why he shouldn't be in Bethlehem, wouldn't it have been Joseph? I'm not making my wife go through this. There's got to be something somewhere else. But you know what, folks? Listen to me. Joseph was tender to the will of God. Now, one of the things you've got to be careful about in your Christian life, and folks, I'll tell you, I've watched people make this fatal mistake, but circumstances of life are not unfolding the way you wish. And if you're not careful, you're going to move yourself out of the will of God while God is trying to use those circumstances to cement you into the will of God. Why? Because there's a miracle. There's a miracle that's about to happen. I can look back in my Bible college years and I can see the different places that God moved me in ministry even while I was in Bible college. By the time I got to my seventh year of Bible college, and it took me a long time. I had to work my way through Bible college. And by the way, I'm glad to be able to stand up here and say that. I worked my way through Bible college. You know, I never took a loan, never applied for a grant, never not one penny of government money helped Jerry Ross with that diploma that's hanging in there. I'm not mad at you if it was available to you, but I'm just telling you the way I did it. And I worked jobs, most of the time more than one job, in order to put my way through college. Because of that, I couldn't take as many hours as maybe somebody that had their way paid, maybe somebody that had a little better situation financially, but I never held that against the Lord. But I'll tell you this, by the time you're there, and your fourth year, and by the way, put yourself there for a second. By the time you're there the fourth year, you're watching all of the freshmen, or a lot of them that came with you, graduate. You show up at graduation at the end of your fifth year. And whatever ones didn't make it in their fourth year, a lot of them are making it their fifth year. By the way, the sixth year graduation, you don't want to go. Okay, you don't want to see people that came to college after you walking across the platform. And you know what? I'll be honest with you. There was a time period there, I'm going to tell you, where I got a little frustrated. And you know what? I said, God, why isn't things working out for me the way it seems to be working out for other people? I had to lay out a semester to work a job, and when I came back into college and re-enrolled right at the end to finish, I'd been in the same bus area for some time, working in a certain route in a certain area, and when I re-enrolled, I was informed by the powers that be, the Caesar Augustuses of my Bible college, that they had made a decision to move me from where I had been ministering, where I had built relationships and contacts, and where I'd seen miracles and was invested in people and helping teenagers and all of this stuff. And they just inadvertently decided they were going to move me from that part of Chicago and we want you to come over here. And they assigned me a different bus route in a different area. Look right up here, young people. And I went back to my dorm and I thought to myself, well, that's not fair. Here, I've spent all that time there. And Lord, this don't seem fair to me. I mean, why won't they just, I went and talked, and I appealed the decision everywhere I could appeal it, and guess what? The decision was, this is your area right here, and this is where you're going to be, and so finally I went. But can I look right up here? I wasn't happy about it. I was bitter about it. And I was so close to graduating, I always thought to myself, well, you know what, I can just quit the bus ministry, I can do something else. I mean, I know what the requirements are to be in Bible college. I don't have to put myself through this every weekend anyway. And I just, you know, wasn't happy in the circumstances of my life. I'd been to college. I was trying to get to the finish line. I had to lay out to save some money to get back in. The powers that be changed my circumstances. And I said to myself, well, I'll go and work this bus route they've assigned me. But I'm not, watch this, I'm not putting my heart in it. I'm not doing that to myself again. Because here I put my heart into this other route, and these kids are doing so well, and then on a whim somebody just changes it. So I'll go do my duty, but I'm not putting my heart in it. And I did that for a couple months. But the problem is this. You know what? You can fool adults, but you can't fool kids. And you surely can't fool teenagers. Pretty soon, I think that I wasn't getting anywhere, and I wasn't seeing any changes, and we weren't seeing any miracles. You know why? Because I was kind of on strike against the Lord and his dealings in my life. I just went on strike. And one Saturday, I got under conviction as I was visiting. And I thought, well, I'm only going to be here for a few more months. Do I really want to put myself in this situation again, set myself up for more heartache? And God convicted me, and I knelt down, found a little vacant corner, vacant lot, middle of this bus route in Chicago, and I got on my face, and I said, God, I'm sorry. So who am I to question the change of circumstance of my life? And Lord, you may be preparing me for a miracle, but I'm not in the right heart and the right mind to accept it or to be willing to do it. And so I got up right with the Lord. And I said, I'm going back to the old ways that Jerry Ross has always done it. I'm not doing it for the Caesar Augustuses anyway. I've always done it for these kids. So I'm going to love these kids, and I'm going to do what I can to help them. And I did. And by the way, it wasn't but a week or two later that me and my wife met a little girl by the name of Lydia Villagrana, a little 14-year-old girl that was an occasional writer on Sunday morning, but she began to respond to our investment in her. And she took the challenge to read her Bible through a year, and we begin to see a spiritual miracle take place in her life. And you know the story. She's the star of the story of the Stay in the Castle booklet. And she now, for these many years, over 20 years, have been a missionary's wife in Mexico. God has used her and her husband to start over 5 churches in Mexico, and to see hundreds, thousands of Mexicans come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, look right up here. I don't know what's going to happen in your life in 2017, and you don't know what's going to happen in my life. And circumstances could change. But God knows where you need to be. And I'm not talking about just geographically. I'm talking about he knows where you need to be. And you know what? Sometimes where he needs us to be, we don't really want to be. But you know what? Aren't you glad we can turn to Luke chapter 2 and read this miracle story? And so I guess my Christmas admonition is this. You know what? Whatever's ahead, let's be a Joseph. Let's be a Mary. Preacher, I'd rather not have to sleep in a barn. Well, me neither. But if sleeping in a barn produces this kind of miracle, I've slept in worse places. Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you that ultimately you are in control. And Lord, you can, as we mentioned, you can mention and call a star by name, and it'll come and do your bidding. But Lord, it seems like that we humans are more prone to ask the question why. Not just what do you want us to do, but why. And Lord, I pray that we would learn to trust in the Lord with all our hearts and lean not into our own understanding. In all our ways, that we would acknowledge you, secure in the promise that you will direct our paths. And so, Lord, they were there while they were there. And I pray, Lord, that we would never leave the will of God, that we would be tender to your spirit. And whatever circumstances of our life may change, Lord, may we accept it. And Lord, may we maybe do what this young preacher training for the ministry needed to do. Maybe find a little patch of private ground that'll become holy ground and kneel down and just simply say, not my will, but thine be done. And I pray, Lord, that you'll help us and direct us and protect us in the days ahead, in Jesus' name.